Hey, I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here, and welcome. Welcome if you're watching online. Isn't it true, though, that there's this tension between how much money I have and what I want? And we're starting a series today called Strapped, and the whole idea is to answer the question, how do I balance my money and the things that I want? The Bible says in your notes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I wish I could say I shall not want, but the truth is I'm just like the guy in the video. I know you could come up to me anytime, night or day, and I can tell you what I want. I want to own a cabin in the mountains. I want a different house, a new house. I want to get a Toyota FJ so I can drive around in that. I want to get an iPad. I mean, there's just like the list goes on and on. I know what I want. What's on your list? And the tension is, how do I satisfy my wants and still have financial peace? I mean, how do I deal with my wants? You might be thinking, well, I know how to deal with my wants. I mean, just give me everything I want, and then I'll be satisfied, and I'll have peace. The problem is, want is an attitude, and it's never satisfied by more. So if you're taking notes, just put that in the margin somewhere. Want is an attitude. It's never satisfied by more, because I have a list of things that I want, and every time I take something off my list, I check it off my list, I have something to replace it with. Because no matter how much I get, I always want more. And as long as you want more, you'll never be satisfied. And want can turn into a wish. Wanting can become wishing. And a wish is a real problem because wishing is void of all effort. I wish for things, but they never happen for me because I don't put any effort into it. Now, a wish is just like a daydream. It's just something in my mind. And the problem is, and neuroscience has proved it, you probably know this, is that an imagined event and a real event, our mind doesn't know the difference between the two. And so the problem is I'm imagining something, and at some point, I almost trick myself into thinking that I have it. So marketers know all about this. I mean, you're sitting on the couch, and you're watching TV, and the commercial comes on for the Doritos. And, you know, everybody's happy. They got a big bag of Doritos, and you don't have any Doritos. And pretty soon you're imagining having a bag of Doritos and then the warm feelings that you get when you have the Doritos. And then, you know, the commercial's over, and you're just, like, sitting there with these warm feelings until you realize, I don't have a bag of Doritos. And then the next thing you know, you're, like, down at 7-Eleven, you know, buying a bag of Doritos and a candy bar and a Bahama Mama and then a Diet Coke because that balances everything out, you know. It's like, do you know you can be tricked into thinking you have something, and then you come down to earth and you realize that you're angry because you discover that you don't have it, and it makes you mad. Maybe you know some people, and they're like angry all the time. Maybe it's because their wishes never come true. They get tricked into thinking that they have something, and then they get angry when they realize that they don't have anything. And so wants, you know, they're a pretty big thing. And there has to be something better than that because, you know, when you try to fund all of your wants, that can create a lot of financial tension. And so something better today, it's the big idea, you can be content no matter what happens with your money. So at East Lake Church, we're always wanting to say things really practical. And how does Jesus show up in our life? We're all about helping people find and follow Jesus, but in a practical way, not in a religious way. And so this whole idea of balancing my money and my wants, here's the idea. You can be content no matter what happens with your money. I'm going to read something out of the Bible. St. Paul wrote this. I know what it's like to not have what I need. I also know what it's like to have more than I need. I've learned the secret of being content no matter what happens. Circle, I've learned the secret. I'm content whether I am well-fed or hungry. I'm content whether I have more than enough or not enough. I can do everything by the power of Christ. He gives me strength. Now, St. Paul, he had a very up-and-down life when it came to money. What he's saying is, I've had times in my life where I had tons and tons of money. I had lots of money. And then I had other times in my life where I didn't have hardly any money. I had times in my life where I had all kinds of nice things, and I had other times where I didn't have hardly anything at all. And it didn't matter on the amount. So that's the first thing to know, that financial peace is not balanced by the amount that we have. You can have lots of money or no money. You can have just a little bit of money, or you can like have like all kinds of nice things, and amount doesn't matter. What he's saying is the secret doesn't have anything to do with the amount. The The secret is in my relationship with Jesus, how I'm connected to him. So the good news is you can have lots of money if you want to, or you can have hardly any money. Either way will work if you're with Jesus. Neither will work if you're not. Because financial peace comes in our relationship with him. He has this statement that he makes, I can do everything through the power of Christ. He gives me strength. So the question is, what does he give me power and strength to do? And here it is right here, to balance my money and what I want. And it's all about focus, and so let's take a look here. Number one in your notes, focus on being grateful. So what we're going to talk about is that if I have power and strength in my relationship with Jesus, what does it cause for me? How does it help me? And here's what it causes. It can help me to focus on something different than I want. And the first thing is to focus on being grateful. Now, let's read this. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So here's what's happening with this. It says that it's possible to be trapped. So here's the story that I love to tell. And it's the story of how they trap little monkeys in South America. And I've been telling this story to my kids for years. They're always like, Dad, not the story of the monkey again. But it's like, yeah, here comes the story of the monkey again. And I tell in church too. Because how they catch the little monkey in South America is the hunter goes around and he puts these small little cages around. The monkey can't even fit in the cage. He puts these cages all around the bases of these trees where the monkeys swing around and play up in the trees. And then he puts these little cages at the bottom. And then he hangs one of these inside. Just a little silver ball of tinfoil is hanging inside of the cage. And it's just kind of glittering around. And the monkeys are playing up in the trees. And all of a sudden, they see the little thing down there. And they're like, what's that? And then they go, I want that. So down the tree they come and over to the cage and they shake it and they try to get inside and they can't. Then they realize that they can put their hand through the bar. So they do. They put their hand through the bar and they go, oh, I have what I want. But when they try to take their hand out of the cage, it won't fit as long as they have this in their hand. And do you know they can get so focused on the glittery silver ball of tinfoil, which really doesn't mean anything at all to a monkey, and they get so focused on it, they don't even realize that the hunter is approaching until it's too late. So here's my question. Is anything approaching in your life, and you can't see it because of what you're focused on, what you want? See, people don't plan to go bankrupt. Nobody plans to make stupid financial decisions that they regret later. No one plans to not be able to pay their bills. Nobody sets out and says, man, I want to be so financially stressed. So I'm going to make really... Nobody does that. But when we become focused on what we want and we can't let go of it, I'm going to get that boat no matter what. And we never see what's coming until we're in it. See, that's the problem. And when you make like this is just a silver ball, but when it becomes a decision about a car or a house or a vacation that I shouldn't take or going into debt for something just because I want it. See, that's the problem. Now, what do you refocus to? This idea of being grateful. My wife is fantastic at this. Because here's the key. The key is focusing on what I have instead of what I want. That's what Jesus gives me the power and strength to do. Focusing on what I have instead of what I want. So Clarice loves to throw any kind of a party. One person besides her, that's a party. So, I mean, in my house, I mean, she loves to have people over and host people and dinner parties and any kind of a party. Just loves to socialize in the house, loves to socialize. So, and I've seen this happen so many different times. She plans something, you know, and all these people are going to come over. And she starts checking out her house and how she's going to get everything ready. And then she kind of looks around her house and, you know, she's like, it's not what she wants. I mean, it's not the kind of house that she wants. And she wants something different. And then she looks at our furniture and says, I hate that old stupid furniture we've had forever. And, you know, she starts looking around. And it sort of gets you, like, discontent. Because listen now, you know, you start looking around and you go, I don't want that. I want something new. And so the discontentment comes. I've seen her do this so many times. I've seen her like begin to make the shift like, well, I don't have what I want, but I can just offer what I have. Just last week she said that. She's planning a party right now. And so pray for me because I'm always at a party. And so it's like, here comes a party again, you know. It's like, and then we have to go through the process. I don't like what we want. We got to get better stuff like this. And I've learned just be quiet. Here's a tip for husbands. When your wife sort of goes through the same cycle every single time, don't interrupt it. You'll just make it so much worse. Just shut up. Leave. Don't say anything. Because if you catch them in the part of the cycle where they're discontent and all of a sudden they're feeling like, these are the things I don't want, pretty soon they won't want what you have to say. Big, huge fight starts. So I've just learned, shut up. Here comes the way she goes through. And finally she got to the place, and I heard her say it. She goes, you know, I don't have what I want, but I can offer what I have, and I'm grateful for that. What is it you're focused on? And you want it so bad, but you can't get your hand out, and something is approaching, and you can't see it. And what's approaching can create tremendous financial stress for you. So here's the thing. This is just a very practical step. When you start like getting caught up in this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, take out a piece of paper and write down three. Here's how you let go of something. See, here's the problem. Think about the poor little monkey. I mean, can you imagine what a drastic life change it goes through? There's no roaming around swinging in the trees anymore for the monkey. He lives in a zoo now where he's stuffed in somebody's back room because he just, I want that. If he just could have let go. Here's how you let go. Write down three things that you have that you're grateful for. That's how the grip comes off what you want. And then you don't have to go through a drastic change. Focus on what you have, not what you want. Number two, focus on being generous. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So I got to go see the Boston Celtics play the Utah Jazz. When the Boston Celtics came to town, I'm a huge Celtics fan. They came to town, and I got to go see them play because my son's girlfriend, who had been planning for months to go to the game, and in fact, she bought tickets so her and my son could go see the Celtics, you know, hang out together, called me up 2 weeks before and said, you know, I've been really thinking about it, and I want to give you my Celtic tickets because I just want you and Capone to have a night where you can come and hang out. And I'm like, seriously, you're going to give me your ticket? No way. She goes, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I want to give you the Celtic tickets. And so I did what anybody would do. I was like, I'll take them. And I got to go to the game and see the Celtics and a bunch of people I always wanted to see that I only saw on TV, and it was fantastic. Doesn't it feel great when someone shares something with you? When you didn't have to pay for it, you didn't do anything, it's just like, here, it's awesome. That's what that was like. A few months ago, I came out of a 7-Eleven, and I live next to a 7-Eleven, so I'm in and out of that place about five times a day because I like their food. And so, you know, I'm in 7-Eleven all the time, and I come out of 7-Eleven, and as I'm walking out of 7-Eleven, there's a person in a motorized wheelchair that's sitting there, and I came out, and I walked by and I said, hey, what's up, man? And I was getting inside my truck, and as I got into my truck, it seemed like he was saying something to me, but I wasn't sure. And sure enough, as I started back out, I was looking at him, and he kept talking to me. I could tell he's trying to talk to me, you know. So I put in park, I get in, I said, hey, what's up, man? Were you trying to say something to me? I'm sorry, I didn't know. And I think he must have had cerebral palsy or something because it was very difficult to understand him. And so I tried to slow myself down and listen to him because I can, I don't know about you, but I can just go through life where I can miss all the important stuff, you know, because I got to have a bag of Doritos. And so, you know, I'm missing everything, and I slow myself down and I'm listening to him. He tells me his name is Mike, and he's stranded at 7-Eleven. This is nighttime now. And I said, well, how did you get stranded, man? And somehow somebody's supposed to pick him up or something, special car to get him out of there, he doesn't have it. And he's asking me if I will help him get home. So I'm looking at my truck and figuring out if I could get his motorized wheelchair in there. I said, I don't know if I can get your chair in there, bro. And he said, no. And somehow he's able, you know, to tell me, I just need you to follow me. And I'm like, well, follow you where? He's home. And what he wants me to do, he says, is he can drive his little motorized, you know, wheelchair home, but he doesn't have any light. So before I know it, I'm behind him in his little wheelchair, and he's like going at the pace of a snail. He's like driving home, and I'm behind him in my truck on the side of the road with my lights on, following him home. You know, I don't even know, he could live in Idaho for all I know, and he's like going slowly down the road, you know, and he's like, and I'm like going, this is crazy. And so then, this is the best part. or at least a good part. He takes a turn, and as he takes a turn, he goes up on the sidewalk, you know, and he's going, you know. And all of a sudden, I looked ahead, and I see these sprinklers going in the lawn. And he's going, I'm thinking, oh, man, this guy's going to get blasted. Do you know, I don't know if he had perfect timing, not a drop on him. I'm like, man, this guy's a magician. And he gets to the end of this thing, and he's at the end of the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, he just stops his chair. I'm like, what's up? You know, so I stop the truck. I get out of the truck. I walk up, and Mike's lighting a cigarette. And I said, hey, man, Mike, what's up? And he just looked at me. He goes, hang on down like this. He goes, I need a cigarette. And I thought, you know what? I'd have one, too. I don't smoke, but I can see why you need a cigarette. You know, and he smokes the entire cigarette, and then we take off again. And I'm pinching myself saying, is this an angel that smoked? Who is this guy? Who stops in the middle of the road and has a cigarette? You know, and I think he was just showing off because he got through that water is what was going on. He's like, you're going to let me have a cigarette. So finally we get to where he lives. And he pulls his chair up there, and I get out of my truck. And I come up and said, you good, man? You right there as you leave? He goes, yeah, I'm good. So I turn and I walk away, and he yells out my name. So I turn around, and I come back. He brings his chair right up to me. He looks up at me, and he said, God bless you. Now listen, man, I've said God bless so many different times, and I've had a lot of people say God bless you, but when Mike said God bless you, it went in so far. See, when you get involved in generosity, it shifts your focus completely. I have $10 on my desk right now at home. I took $10 and put it on my desk at home right now because I'm challenging myself to give away the $10 this week. Just somehow I've got $10, and I'm actually really excited about my week, so I've decided to challenge you too to take $10, just $10. I know $10 is $10. You buy a lot of food at 7-Eleven with $10. But anyways, you know, you got $10, and just decide this week, $10 out of your purse or your wallet, just 10 bucks, and decide this week, look for an opportunity to just give it away. And I'm totally excited because I'm like, well, I'm going to give $10 away. It's going to be the perfect opportunity to be generous. I'm going to see it's going to be just like Samantha, my son's girlfriend. She saw the perfect opportunity, and she hit the spot. This week, I'm going to hit the spot with somebody. I'm giving 10 bucks away. I challenge you to do the same. Because here's what I saw in my life a couple weeks ago, and I'm just going to put myself out there, and I'm not proud of it. I made a promise about a year ago that when I was at the store, I would always, whenever I paid for something and all the change came to me, or the change comes in the little slot machine thing, anyways, you know, you get your change out, that I would always just give that to whatever donation was there. So you know they usually have a box there, or a little thing that you can put the money into. So I just always put it into that. But the agreement I made is if they don't ask for any money, they don't have a box, then I take it home and it's mine. And I put it in my own little box at home. And when I get enough change, I take it over to Smith's. I dump it in the coin counter thing there. And then, you know, I have a little receipt that allows me to spend my money. And I noticed something. I like to put the change in the little container for the donation for charity. But I don't know what it is, why it's so much better when I'm pouring my money in the change thing. I'm just like, woohoo, it's almost like free money, you know. So I had my receipt, and I was walking around the store, and I got home, and I was putting stuff away, and I realized, oh, man, I didn't spend my dang receipt. And I got messed up in the other receipts, and I threw the bags away out in the garbage can. I was like, I got to get out there and get that receipt out of there. And then I got distracted and I forgot. And the next day, the garbage man took the garbage away. So I lost my dang $8.37, and I was pissed because of it. And so I was like, doggone it. You know, and I was shaving the next morning, and this conversation started to emerge. Now, I don't know if you ever hear God or if you think about how does God talk or something like that. He doesn't talk like this. Hello, my child. That's not God. That's Darth Vader. So who God is he just generates a conversation. It's going to kind of sound like your own voice in your own head. And he starts asking, here's the question. It was great. He said, well, how come you can't give all of your change away? And I was like, well, I have a very simple answer for that. Because I want it. I want some. Every little bit kind of goes far. I mean, every little amount helps. That's my change. And it's like, come on, Jesus, we made an agreement. And that's when I realized I hadn't made an agreement with him. I'd made an agreement with myself. Isn't it amazing the things that we can tell ourselves to focus on what we want instead of what other people need? Isn't that amazing? $8.37, big whoop. But it was mine. Let me tell you something. When that $8.37 receipt was taken by the garbage can, I was so angry. But any time that I can't give my change to the little charity container because it's not there, I'm not angry at all. Actually, there's sort of this quiet delight. Well, they didn't ask for it. It's mine. I work at a place where there's all these salesmen. There's one girl and like 25 guys, so it's kind of a weird place to work because there's way too much guy. But anyways, they're very, very competitive guys. They're all salesmen. And sometimes two salesmen will get to arguing over a sale. They both think the sale is theirs. They both want the commission. And one day I'm listening to these, and there's this one guy I really like there. Big, huge guy, and I just like him a lot. We're buddies. And I hear him talking to the other salesman, and he says, listen, that's my commission. And someone says, why do you have to take it? He goes, I take everything I can. I'm greedy. And I was like, it just struck me. And I was like, you know what? I know him. He doesn't teach his kids to be greedy. He doesn't hope his wife is greedy. He doesn't want to be known as greedy. But however, we will tell our thing, you know, we'll say something to ourselves so we can focus on what we want instead of what other people need. Have you got $10? You want to change it? Just this week, take $10 and just say, you know, my focus this week is not on what I want, it's on what someone else will need. And give it away. Now, number three, turn your notes over. Getting close to the end here. Focus on being wise. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. So that's for sure. I mean, we take a lot of our cues for culture. We decide what we're going to buy based on what culture says to us. This week I was talking to a young lady. She's going to buy a car, and she had a different choice in front of her. She could buy one car or the other car. And so I'm talking to her, and she wants to buy this one car that I know she shouldn't buy. She's getting talked into buying this one car. And I asked her, I said, Why do you want to buy that car? And here's what she said to me. It's sexy. And I'm like, girl, you're not picking your husband, man. You're buying a car. You know? But it's sexy, yeah. You know, and I'm like, girlfriend, you know, and I told her, I said, listen, it's gonna be sexy broke on the side of the road. That's not sexy. That's stupid. I mean, don't buy that car. I said, this is the car that you should buy. This car doesn't break. This is reliable. This is, you know, a dopey grandma car, but put that aside because this is the car you should have. And I saw the look on her face. And it was like her brain was processing it. That's the wise decision. But man, she had the sexy car in her mind. And that was the other decision. And culture says, get the sexy car. Culture says, buy, 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 and devour it up and then go into debt so you can get some more. Man, we take our cues from culture, what we should look like, kind of car that we should drive, how much we should spend to get our nails done and hair done. Watch out for the people that do the nails, too, because those girls are little con artists, man. She goes, hey, $5 to get this, that, too. You know, they just, next thing you know, you went in for $5 nails, it's like $65. You got some flags on there or something, but get careful. So anyway, you know, culture says this is what you should be doing. Not that I personally know that, so I see what's in your head. I don't personally know this. But I, that's embarrassing. Your brain doesn't know the difference between an imagined event, so get that out of your head. You know, our culture says that we should buy all kinds of things, and there are organizations that will take us deep into debt, and they don't care anything about us. I called the other week to the bank, and I want to find some things out, and I call the bank. I said, hey, this is Robin Gaddis, and the first thing they ask me is, what is your account number? And I realized, I'm just a number to these people. They don't care about my family. They don't care about my future. They don't care about my relationship with God. I am just a number. You're just a number to the people that want to take you deep into debt so you can have a sexy car. I called her up. I said, girl, what'd you decide? She said, oh, I'm going to get that other car today. And I said, are you sure that's a smart decision? She said, no. But I'm going to have a sexy car. And I thought, how many times have I been there? How many times did I not use wisdom? And then I got exactly what I got. A sexy car that won't get me to work. How do you be wise? When you can focus on wisdom instead of your feelings. You know, that's all that was helping her make her decision. She could just see herself driving them down West Valley in her sexy car with all of her friends seeing her. It was an emotion. It was just an emotion that was driving her. And Jesus doesn't want you to be unemotional. He loves you. That's an emotion. But he wants to give you the power and the strength to focus on wisdom. Here's one very wise thing to do. Here's just a very practical thing to do this week. You can't make great decisions with your finances unless you know where you stand now. Isn't it true, devour, 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 devour? You got money, 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 devour, devour. And how many times have you been here at the end of the month go, where the hell's all my money? Where'd all the money go? Couples are great at this because it's usually the dude that hasn't paid one attention to the money the entire month. And then he rolls in and says, where's all the money at? As if the woman went out and hid it in the backyard or something. She's like, well, diapers and food and that crazy, you know. I mean, here's something that, well, this is a very wise thing to do. Just over the next week, track all the money that you spend. Create an unemotional list of where your money goes. Just get pencil and paper out and just track it, or get an envelope and throw all the receipts in there. And then at the end of a week, next Sunday, sit down by yourself or with your spouse and look at all the things, and you can answer the question, did we need to spend $37.50 on the movie? Because that popcorn at $19.99 is a little high. Girl, put some in your purse next time. Did I need to? You know, did I need to spend $9 for a lunch? Did I need to spend $3 for a rock star to get my day going? Well, yes, on the rock star. Let's not take wisdom too far, because I need that. But the problem is when you buy the wrong car or the wrong house or you take the wrong vacation. Because you're trying to fund your wants through feelings. And then you're left holding the tab and you're somebody's number. Do you know in the Bible it says that your name is inscribed on God's hands? You're not a number to him. He cares about you. He doesn't want you to go without, but he wants to help you, give you power and strength to make wise decisions. Now, here's the fourth thing. Focus on being disciplined. Jesus said this, and this is kind of an odd scripture. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, God's saying that, so it's an interesting statement. And by the way, Jesus doesn't want your money. Do you know he talked a lot about money, and he never took money from anybody. One time in the entire story, he borrowed a coin as an illustration for a story, and then he gave it back. Religion, now, they may want your money, but Jesus doesn't. But he did say that you can't serve both. The problem is it's very normal to try to serve both. I want to serve God, I love God, I trust God, but there is nothing like having the cold, hard cash in my hand to buy what I want. That guarantees my purchase. Now, Jesus may want to discuss it with me, but I can go around him. Because the person at Walmart, they keep their mouth shut and just take my money and give me my stuff. You can't serve both God and money. It's attention to it. See? And it doesn't take any discipline to serve money. But it does to serve Jesus. Now, this is something you won't hear every Sunday in church. You'll never have enough discipline to serve Jesus. Glad you came. You'll never, ever be strong enough. You'll never have enough power. You'll never have the discipline that it requires to serve the Lord. Religion says, be disciplined. So you'll have the power to be strong. Jesus says, ask me for strength. So you'll have the power to be disciplined. They're completely different. Because the discipline that I need, I'll never have by myself. Has money become your master because you thought you were strong enough to control it and you have found out the hard way that you're not? And then you discover something about money. It's a mean-ass master. It is mean. that Jesus is kind. He wants to give you power and strength so you can be disciplined. So you can have this tension between money and financial peace resolved. And that's really what it's all about. You can see the bottom line, my heart follows my money. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So, I mean, even though we're talking about money this weekend, what we're really talking about is my heart. And Jesus doesn't want your money, but he does love you and want your heart. Will you give it to him? He's not asking for your money. He's asking for your heart. Because he knows that all of us have a heart that's not powerful enough and not strong enough. Money will win unless I give my heart to Jesus. And if I do, he gives me the power and the strength to be grateful for what I have. He gives me the power and strength to be generous. Power and strength to be wise and disciplined so I can have financial peace.